He's not going to be here.
This recording will be for the regular meeting of the Emory County School Board held on February 6, 2008 at Canyon View Junior High School in Huntington, Utah, starting at 7 p.m.
Well, it's 7 o'clock. We welcome you to our board meeting held at Canyon View Junior High. There we go. All board members are present with the exception of Laura Johansson. And is there anything else I need to say in regards to that? Okay. We'll begin our meeting tonight by standing and pledging allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Well, I guess I'd entertain a motion to approve the warrants and minutes.
Also move.
I'll second.
No questions, huh?
No questions on them.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Yeah, aye. The financial reports for January. Do we have to do those separately, or is that part of the warrants and minutes?
It's part of the consent agenda.
Okay.
You can do a separate motion for me.
Okay.
Like
I thought we did.
I included that in my motion.
I thought I heard it, but I wasn't sure. Okay.
Included in my second as well.
Thank you. We'd like to recognize Mr. Carl Lyman from the State Office of Education here tonight, who has a special presentation we'd like him to make at this time. And I guess this is your wife, is that correct?
Yeah, this is my wife. Yeah.
We welcome both of you. Thank you for coming. Was the drive okay?
It was good.
Good.
Well, we've driven a lot worse.
Probably this year.
Yeah, last week. I went to Vernal last week. That was more.
Why don't you come right up here? Come up the front here. We'll get a picture of you.
What we've got is an award for Wayne Roberts that we'd like to wanted to recognize him and let you know that the good job that he's doing there. He's what it is a Teacher of the Year, Network Teacher of the Year from Novell and the Utah State Office of Education. Several years ago, when Novell was doing well, they gave some money to the State Office of Education that they matched it, that we have a scholarship to recognize seniors that excel with either Lennox certification or NetWare certification. And Wayne's been teaching that class for 8 years now, Over those past 8 years, seven of those years, he's had one of his students that's received one of those awards from Novell. And I taught for years in Delta, been at the state office for years, but I know when we went to those competitions or had things, Wayne was always there with one of his students. They had the Test Out Challenge competition, which they tested the students and the teachers. Wayne was always the one to be. He was in the teacher competition. I think he won it several years. I don't know how many, but
two or three.
That's about how they did it. About 4 or 5 years was all, and he had most of those that he won. On the state level, we've seen there he participates in those activities with the other teachers, gives input on what we need to be doing there on a state level. And he has just done an excellent job with his students, and we'd like to recognize him and let you know the good job that he's doing with the program here. Kids that go through his program, one of the things that he's done, he's pushed these students to go take those industry tests, the Novell CNA test, the Linux Plus test. And last year, he had two of his students that got those young NetWare professional awards. Both of them had passed industry tests. Done an excellent job. Been a good program for those young men coming out of the school. A lot of times they never get recognized like some of the other programs in the school. Those teachers never get recognized. They're never out standing with the cheerleaders or whatever. So, we got that plaque for him, and we've got a check for him too.
Wow. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Probably one of the things that ought to happen is recognizing that they have an assembly or something in the school to make him bring his plaque and
we'll
recognize him again.
Great.
Fantastic.
Carl, we appreciate you and your wife being here.
We're glad to come and do that. Wayne's been there. When I come down this, I knew Wayne was one of the teachers I knew because he always showed up when there was in service or training or at the Nobel Brain Chair because he was bringing students there that had won awards. A lot of teachers I didn't know, but he was one that I did know before I went to the state office.
Wayne's an extremely valuable employee to real asset to our district. Not only in the teaching phase, but
keep things running.
That's exactly right. He's our network expert.
They become valuable people to have around.
And it is actually the students that win this Nobel thing. It's like winning state.
It's
a big honor.
Yeah. Great scholarship. Thank you for
Wayne.
Both ends. And.
You mean you don't want to stay for the
boring
part of the meeting? I'm
going to
watch the
football game. Okay. It'll make for an exciting drive home if you wait a little while, maybe. You can slide all the way back. Save on gas.
Thank you.
Item number 2, consideration and approval of water leases for 2008. Whose item is that?
I'll take that.
Okay.
I put the updated information in your packet to review. Really nothing has changed since last year, and I don't foresee any different use as far as the district needs are concerned for the water, and so my recommendation would be to continue to lease the shares that we lease for the same arrangement. It ends up being that we don't have to pay any of the assessments, so we're essentially allowing the cities to use the water. I think it's a good PR gesture and came from goodwill between the cities and the school district, and so I would recommend that we continue to lease these shares as we have in the past. And I know the cities are willing to do that.
Are they still willing to do that even this coming year?
Okay. I would move that we follow through with the leases we have in the past.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, passes. Yeah. Next is item number 3, service agreement for 403B third party administrator.
Okay, this is the yellow agreement that I put in your packet. And what we've come up against is the IRS has come down with some new laws and regulations for 403B. And the 403Bs are essentially the same as a 401K account, except they're specialized in the education industry, and so we can offer them as an employer. And previously, our involvement is basically if an employee wants a 403B account, they sign an agreement with that vendor, and then we send a payroll deduction to that vendor for their 403B, but we haven't had to track anything beyond that as far as transfers or rollovers or if they're deducting too much based on, you know, what the maximum withdrawals are for a year, that type of thing. And these new regulations essentially make it as tight as a 401k, so we have to start tracking all of that stuff, which we don't really have the resources to do. We have about 40, 45 employees who have 403Bs. And so what I'm proposing is this service agreement would allow the school district to have a third-party administrator who would keep track of all of that. And basically, the setup would be very similar to how Utah Retirement Systems is for our 401Ks and pensions, how they administer and regulate everything. We just kind of send them the checks, and they make sure it's all legal and within the laws. And this third-party administrator, which is Great American Plan Administrators, they're out of Cincinnati, Ohio. I did meet with them in person last week. They came to Salt Lake to do some training on what their services are. And they'll do this for us for free. The reason they'll do that is so that they can maintain a payroll slot in a district. You know, a lot of districts are limiting 403Bs to just one or two or three vendors. And so we allow them to do this, or they'll do this for us, and we allow them to stay on as a vendor of 403B accounts. We're under no obligation to push them as a preferred vendor or even recommend them, but they will do that service for us for free. And I was very comfortable after talking with them and looking through the service agreement that it would be a good thing for the district to do, so I would recommend that the board basically give me approval to sign this document and sign them up as a third-party administrator.
Do the employees that have 403Bs have to sign off on this also?
They will have to sign a just basically a statement saying who they're with and how much they're withdrawing,
okay.
And then they'll send it in. We'll have to send their information to the third-party administrators so that they know,
okay,
you know, which employees are involved in everything. But it doesn't commit the employees to anything different than they have now. They assured me that there are no extra fees to the employee's account. So from an employee perspective, it's exactly the same as it has been.
Okay. Well, I would make a motion that we give the authority to do this. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Okay, we have the principal's report. Mr. Davis.
All right.
To our school, Canyon View, and again, I appreciate the school board choosing a monthly meeting and choosing our school for that meeting. We appreciate it, and hopefully I can give you some insight into some of our programs and some of the progress we've been making and some of the challenges that we have here. I prepared an overview of some of the programs and demographics here at Canyon View that I'd like to go through quickly with you. Our mission statement and our desired results for student learning have not changed over the years. They are the guiding force behind everything we do. This year, our desired results, which we call DIRSAL, will be part of the accreditation process, which we will formally undergo next year. It's the second round. We're just ending a 6-year accreditation here at Canyon View, And next year we are anticipating a site visit from a team of evaluators from the state office. And the challenge will be for us to defend our dirtles with this team, not through just anecdotal information, but also through statistics. And it has to be on multiple levels, not just school-wide, but also with our programs and in the classroom. So that's going to be a challenge. We are well ahead of the curve in preparing for this. We started a year ago, and we actually initiated our focus groups this year, and those groups are working vigorously towards preparing the accreditation plan, which we want to have ready to go at the start of the school year. So really pleased about that. I've also listed our goals this year. I'd like to go through those with you quickly. This is on page 2. Provide non-traditional training opportunities for faculty and staff in areas proven through research to be effective in pedagogical practice. One of the things that we are doing, which was a recommendation in our first accreditation go-round, and that is to find ways to provide professional development to meet the challenges of a very active faculty, a faculty that has limited time to participate in professional development training, and with the restrictions and challenges that we have as a rural school district. And one of the things that I've incorporated is a Web Share for Teachers program, putting many of the requested and valuable professional development opportunities on our web page so that teachers can utilize those at times which are convenient to them, and also find them more accessible and convenient. And that's working out pretty well. Number 2 is to establish core action plan for improving test scores, monitor and disaggregate test score data, establish and activate a feasible AYT plan. Because we were notified at the first of the school year that we had not made adequate yearly progress because of one out of 45 categories, I think, and that category being language arts with students with disabilities, we initiated that plan immediately. And it is a very solid plan, buy-in by the faculty, of course, but also the community council. And that plan was also forwarded to the district office. Ironically, we were notified not too long ago. That
I haven't even told the board this yet.
So. Oh.
you can announce it.
Okay. This is an announcement. We were notified. Kurt actually gave me a call that there had been an error in calculation, and that our school had in fact made AYP. I believe that it has to go through the appeal process, but seems to be a formality that our school was eligible for two-year averaging in that same category that we initially told had not made AYP. So we're very pleased with that.
Actually, what it is that when your kids are placed in a subgroup, they are supposed to stay in with that subgroup for 2 consecutive years, and the state office has failed to apply that rule, so that those special ed kids that were in the special ed, as those kids were moved out of special education, their scores were supposed to remain with that subgroup for an additional year, but they weren't. So when you take 2 consecutive years and leave the kids in who are moved out, they did make AYP. So I was able to appeal that, but it will still show, what it will show is on the website, it will show that Canyon View Junior High made AYP by appeal. And so it'll just say that it was because of an appeal, which is a data error. So they did make AYP.
Great.
Based on that. It doesn't mean that you still don't have to really focus on those special ed kids, because
by taking those out, you were successful with the number of kids and they were moved out.
Yeah,
because of that, you penalized. That's why you're supposed to leave them in for an additional year, which they didn't apply that rule. So had those scores remained with those other kids, they would have made it anyway. So we appealed that, and it's a given. There's no process to go through. It's just a given that they are, based on that appeal, they didn't make AYP.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was obviously good news for us, but we had an AYP plan in effect, and of course we'll continue to emphasize those things that were stressed in that plan. Number three, continue to utilize school improvement teams while making each team more active and involved in the change process. That is well entrenched in our school. We've had school improvement teams as long as I've been here. We meet at the conclusion of each school year, and we offer improvement plans that we initiated at the start of the following school year. Implement plans approved by the school improvement committee while continuing to utilize the committee in the change process. Number five, utilize the community council. Set quarterly meetings to make the council a part of school improvement. Have a very active council. Again this year, although there was almost a complete reorganization of that because many of the members no longer had children in our school. So we lost all but one community council member, but we were able to replace those members with some very dedicated parents, and that council is moving forward. Establish a parent-adult volunteer program to assist the school in all phases of education. Marie is a very active part of that volunteer program. We appreciate that. We've had a number of parents who have assisted us with programs, including Reality Town, which was held here at our school last Friday. Dozens of adult volunteers, and our community council is very good at volunteering for school programs as well. Utilize student council and other student organizations in the decision-making process. All of our committees, including student council, including community council, although not on an official basis, include student members. When parents come to the community council, they bring their children, their students from Kansas. All of our committees are organized with student participation in mind. Continue to foster business, community, and school partnerships. This year, in addition to the support we've gotten from local business, small business, and Emory Telecom, the BLM have stepped up to join in a partnership where they have donated 28 computers to our school, which we are putting into a computer lab in the health room so that our health teacher can use the Discovery Health program on a regular basis. Those computers were surplus by the BLM. However, Doug Johnson, our computer tech, went over to the BLM office with me and inspected those computers and was thrilled at what they were doing. The maintenance department is finished installing some cabinets in that classroom, and Doug will be installing our computers in the next week or so. The U.S. Forest Service, another partner for our school, is bringing an avalanche safety program next week, which is pretty timely under the circumstances. And we appreciate their participating in working with us on these great programs. We also have health care bringing a program to our school on health. That will be in April, and it is a dramatic production that deals with teenage nutrition. We're looking forward to that. Number nine is to activate, monitor, and revise accreditation action plans and establish a timeline for accreditation round two, and I spoke to that one. And number 10, set school-wide goals, establish annual improvement goals for each teacher, review these goals periodically, and revise as necessary. We do that first of the year. Superintendent initiated a teacher goal program 2 years ago that is part of our school goal project as well. Teachers identify improvement goals, and the good thing about it is that it calls for statistically provable goals so that the teacher is working towards raising the bar towards a specific level of achievement at least each year. It's not an abstract goal that is difficult to define and certainly more difficult to achieve. So, over on the next page, a few demographics. I'm sure you're all aware of the numbers at our school and especially the secondary schools in the district right now. Our student body number right at this time is at its lowest number ever at 176 students. We received some information, I think it might have been the first administrative council meeting, the high water mark for schools. Canyon View in 1993 had 358 students. Right now we have 176. You can see over the 8 years that I've been here, at least over the last 4 years, that those numbers have dropped quite dramatically. There is this little dip moving through the secondary schools right now, and we anticipate, although next year it looks like it's going to be about the same, but then it starts to pick up a little bit over the subsequent years. So. We have 14 classroom teachers here, a total of 29 on our staff, very dedicated, professional, quality people. Really care about kids, care about the education that they provide for their children. It's a pleasure to work with these individuals on a daily basis and get to know them. In many ways, we're like a family here and associate together. We're friends as well as colleagues. It's a very collegial atmosphere. A couple of notes on fee waiver and reduced lunch. With the declining numbers, these numbers have gone down substantially. 3 or 4 years ago, we would have had close to $4,000 to $5,000 in fee waivers, and now we're looking at $1,800. The number of on-free and reduced lunch is also down, even percentage-wise, at 40%. We've done close to 50% in the past, so that's an improvement. Have a lot of involvement in community service and participation by students in groups, humanitarian efforts, including the Student Council, donated again this year to Census Wishes Foundation. It's an organization out of Price. It began with Carl Malone being introduced to a young man from Price who was dying of cancer, and he subsequently did die, but from that came Census Wishes Foundation, and it has funded a lot of worthwhile projects for kids in the Carbon Inlet area. The Honor Society again went to Primary Children's Hospital, has made gifts and quilts and things of that nature, and also the Festival of Trees. The Honor Society and the MCCLA sell concessions on game day with the proceeds going to school improvement. Peer Helpers sponsoring poster and essay contests for alcohol, drugs, tobacco awareness. We have a student volunteer program, which involves students helping other students in our homework class. A Helping Hands program, which involves volunteer work around school. Our Top Cat Achiever program honors students at the end of each term for citizenship, academics, attendance, and school service. This year, first term, we only had 92 top tests, and second term, 82. And the number drops because the qualifications increase each term. It becomes a little bit more difficult. School-wide committee efforts, these are things that are being initiated as we speak. We've organized a green committee under the direction of Mr. Polaney. Purpose is to create awareness of the environment, saving the planet, recycling. We've organized a wellness committee, which will be sponsoring a health fair. The wellness committee includes the school nurse, health teacher, home ed teacher. It includes a member a vendor and students, and we're looking at improving nutrition and health and well-being among our students. Mrs. Wang is in charge of an art festival project coming up this spring. We're going to expand our Patriot Day program to involve the community next year. That will be on September 11th. And we will also initiate quarterly family night programs. We get a lot of good programs that would benefit parents. We need a forum to present those programs to parents. The most recent one I got was on the internet, and concerns about what children are getting into on their computers and predators on computers, and how parents can protect their children from such things. Our language arts department, art department, and tax department have taken humanitarian programs over to Turnquist for the elderly. And the final note, community service school certainly supported the family, the Crandall Canyon Mine, beginning in, well, through August, pretty much. Proud of that. The next page was participation in the Castle Valley Activities Association. For a small school, we have an extraordinary number of students who participate in athletic programs as well as band and chorus, and those are all part of the Activities Association. We also have quiz bowls in the spring, and proud to say that this year, our football team took first place in the conference, and that our wrestling team also took first place in the league and in the tournament. Very strong program, as are all of our athletic programs. With the declining numbers and with the high schools encouraging ninth graders to come up and play, you would think that we wouldn't be able to sustain these programs, but what it's doing is opening up opportunities for other kids. The next page outlines some of our capital improvement needs. This is a priority list that I just recently sent over to Jared as requested by the district office. These are under consideration right now. And we also have some in-house projects. One is the banner project in the gym, which was pretty much completed at the start of the school year, but it has to be updated every year. And that lists those students who over the years have achieved extraordinary prowess in athletics. It lists athletes of the year. It lists those wrestlers who have won championships, male, outstanding male and female athletes. And also, I'm proud that we finished the sign project out front. That was a project born out of our community council about 4 years ago. And these projects take time, but we got Spencer Felberg at Reed Felberg, boy, he's a ninth grader here this year. Turned that into an Eagle project. Finally, did that new sign out front. and it's a great addition to our school, and there's a picture of it there on that page. We have several grants that kind of turn the wheels on our programs. Amex Telecom funds the Top Cat program. We have an ELL grant that we use to support tutoring for our Spanish-speaking students. Our Trust Lands grant program funds all of our probation and tutoring and 504 programs. We have many business partnerships that I mentioned earlier, and we have a character ed grant that helps reward students for positive behavior. Under academics, just a few comments on these. I mentioned that we did make AYT. This year, our school will take all core tests online. Last year, we did just math. We're going to do all core testing on computers this year. The district is providing a mobile laptop computer facility for us. I think it has about 30 laptop computers that we can use to move from room to room. It'll especially be vital during that core testing, but can be used in many other areas during the school year. Professional development, despite the problems that we have, finding time and the logistics and so forth, our teachers are very adamant about getting professional development whenever they can. I've listed many of the things that they have participated in within the last 12 months. You can see that's quite an extensive list. We had two teachers at first aid training today. For example, we have our resource teacher, Rick Bird, who is in training now to prepare to give these core tests in the spring. Kamikam also is in training as a counselor to proctor those tests. A lot of things that are available, and our teachers take advantage of those. Accreditation, I mentioned earlier, textbook adoption issue was in math. We are reviewing textbooks for science for next year. We have two teachers with reading endorsements. We were finally able to get Jackie Wine here full time. She had been at Canyon View and Santa Fe. And by getting her here full time, we have established a reading specialist in our school. And she has two class periods where she works with students specifically on reading. Those students reading below grade level are getting the help that they need. We also have a reading period, which is called Learning Strategies. We are piloting a new program. This is a program that I've developed. We're using 40 literacy strategies that are included with vignettes or short stories as models that I've written. And these models are based on junior high experience, so they're relevant to our students. I'm piloting that in Mr. Pelaney's class of ninth graders, tweaking it, getting it ready to initiate at the beginning of next school year with all of our students. We have several academic at-risk programs. These are safety nets to help kids that are struggling after school homework class, tutoring during school, remediation, lunchtime remediation. We do tracking. The list is just exhaustively. Anything that we could think of that might help the student get over the hump or give them just a little bit more of the nudge that they need, the encouragement that they need, are available. Along with that, we have a lot of academic rewards for students that do well, that come to school prepared each day and try their hardest and do their homework. We honor these students in a number of ways that's listed there. Now, the community council, as I mentioned, is very active at our school. And we have several clubs that are academically oriented, such as the Junior Honor Society, our Cougar Reading and Writing Club. This is a club that we started 2 years ago, now in its third year, and it's just taking off. Since Christmas, we started book talk sessions here in the library during learning strategies time. Students seem to be very energized about that, coming in for 10 minutes and talking about things they've read. We've had guest speakers through the Readers and Writers Club. We have essay contests, and we have readings as well. And our peer helpers, they engage in the mental well-being of students, which is necessary toward the academic success of students. And the last page, just some notes about some of the things that I consider to be high priorities to improve our academics. We did remove one this year after seeing it for several years. You might remember that one of our high priorities was to get a reading specialist or a reading program, which is now well underway. So that one we don't need to worry about. But I have listed full-time counselor, additional resource aid time. We have one 19.5-hour resource aid here at Canyon View, and then somehow working in professional development time for a teacher. There are a number of activities listed just through March, but to April 1st. Dan, you might want to drop by San Jose tomorrow and watch the basketball game coming over. We have our sweetheart pageant on the 15th. This used to be a project by the FFA, and I think about 6 or 7 years ago we dropped FFA from the junior high, but this was one of the things that we really wanted to hang on to, that sweetheart pageant. Roma Brotherson, our secretary, picked that up and just does an amazing job with it. It's a beautiful pageant, and you get a chance to stop by and watch that. It'll be on the 15th. We do our combined dance with San Rafael that evening from 6 to 9. And several other things coming up. So, pretty busy. It's always busy. The activities seem to be excessive at times, but they are part of our program to reward students for good behavior and for academic success. Those things don't come without hard work. And finally, I just want to thank the board and also the district office for all the support that you give our school. It's always a challenge. Junior high by itself is a challenge, but we face even greater challenges as we move to the 21st century. But we never give up. We keep trying. We keep challenging kids. And personally, I love what I do, and I appreciate the opportunity of working in the Emory School District. So, if you have any questions or...
We want to thank you, Larry. We appreciate the wonderful leadership you provide here at Canyon View. It's easy for us. You handle everything, it seems like. So, I think, anyway. I don't know about...
Yes, he does.
Okay, that's the impression I always got. I never hear anything.
I think there's one issue that he does, don't he? No, at all. And that's the weather. Would you please do something about that?
The one thing he hasn't handled yet.
Yeah.
But he's working on it.
Well, I was working on it up until my custodian, Richard Rowley, called in sick.
He's shoveling snow.
Yeah, he's down now, so watch your step when you go out. There's a lot of black eyes out there.
Yeah,
there is. Is one of our top education leaders that we have in the district. He has an education leader.
You know, and coming here weekly, I can't tell you how impressed I am with the atmosphere in the school. There's definitely a feeling of friendship, support of one another, the collegial the atmosphere is just, and it shows from the teachers to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The kids know that the teachers care, the teachers know, well, the teachers, the whole staff feels, I think, that there's a unity here that's really amazing. And I think a lot of it is due to your leadership. So thank you, too.
Great. And the school is very clean.
It is.
Ollie and Richard do a remarkable job. Ollie takes time, or own time, to decorate on a seasonal basis, and he just loves to put things up to cheer the kids up, and it makes a difference. It has, you know, anything you can do to brighten up the school and make somebody smile, I think it's well worth your time.
Thank you very much. We recognize what you do.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Superintendent's report.
We'll have an action item after closed session, but just a quick update on the legislature. I sent to you, and then I attached again because I've updated it even since I sent it to you. Just the list that I've been keeping, kind of these aren't all the education bills, but you have some of these, but the ones that are underlined are the new ones sent. I originally gave it to you, and I'm only going to mention a couple of them. On that first page, I bolded or even made larger this House Bill 69, which repeals the board leeway for reading. And this is a bill that I don't know where it's going to go. There is some concern about it statewide as to what it does, because there are districts who gain money and some who lose money. And the last page that I gave you here is a spreadsheet that shows what it does to our school district on the last page. And as you can see, according to this spreadsheet, we actually gained $54,000 if they eliminate the local tax. Now, Jared and I are talking, this could be a little bit less because it may not include some of the local efforts. But we still gain probably anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000 by eliminating the local tax and having the state pick it up. So obviously we're supportive of that. The one thing it doesn't have built into it that is there now is an increase each year because of the increases in the tax rate. So that would be eliminated if it went to the income tax, because you don't have that automatic increase in the income tax. But, you know, certainly anything you can do to lower local taxes, we want to do it. Another one I want to mention is on that first page, the last one, House Bill 163, the school fee amendment. This is when you're talking about fee waivers and other things. This is basically a bill that would eliminate all fees, course fees, rental fees, use fees, charges for student supplies, textbook fees, extracurricular activity fees would be allowed, but there's a $13 million appropriation for it, and my concern is that $13 million probably would probably cover not even a third of the fees that are charged statewide. So I think the idea is good to eliminate fees, but I don't think $13 million is going to cover what you lose. On the second page, down House Bill 278 in the middle, the big one, this would require a school district, if any of our students happen to leave and go to Pinnacle Canyon, this bill would actually require us to send all of our tax revenues that we get for every student to the charter school other than debt service, which means they don't just get the weighted people unit, they would also get any monies, any revenues that we would generate locally would have to follow that student. Right now, that's not a big concern to us, but you never know that it could be. This is one that we're certainly opposing.
Yeah, just as an example, they would get the proportion of like a transportation levy, even though a charter school doesn't have to provide transportation, they'll get that portion. So there's several things that are real controversial, I think, about that. But I've actually heard that the charter schools are opposed to this bill because they would be losing money. And I don't know all the details of that.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're funded, but they're opposed to it also.
And House Bill 332, use of public school facilities, you need to be concerned about that because basically it's taking all of your authority away to control the use of your school buildings. It basically says that you cannot deny the use of your school facilities unless it interferes with school functions or purposes.
And that's wrong.
And that really concerns me that you could have any radical group out there come in and use your school facility for any reason they want. Mm-hmm. And you can't control it. You can't deny it. There's several bills. I don't believe I've seen a year where there's more bills that usurp local control, that take it away from you as a school board. There's a lot of things in here that do that. Another one I want to point out on the next page, Senate Bill 140, at the very bottom. This is an Education Advisory Council. This not only allows municipalities or cities or counties to establish an Education Advisory Council, in some cases it even requires it. But it basically requires you as a school board to seek advice and consider recommendations of education advisory councils. In other words, the mayor of every city could organize an education advisory council with the mayor as the chair, or the county have a county commission and an advisory council, and you would be required to consider their recommendations in almost every decision you make. And everything that I read in this bill, and you ought to read it, everything that it describes as a function of the Education Advisory Council is what elected school boards are elected to do.
I was going to say, it sounds a little redundant.
And so, that's one that I've been talking with our legislators about. And on the next page, Senate Bill 142, High School Graduation Requirements, that's one that would allow a 12-year-old to get a high school diploma if they can pass the ACT and the UBISCUS. Without ever going to junior high or high school.
It says receives a certain score. What is that?
Well, they
score?
Have to score in the top 15% on the subtest of the ACT, which would be hard to do. But you could have a 12-year-old that could do that under certain circumstances. I can remember students going through our system as a sixth grader that probably could have passed the UBISCUS and the ACT and be in the top 15% without ever going to junior high or high school. But it would give them a diploma if they could do that. And Senate Bill 190, I'm not too concerned about displaying the flag. We do that in all of our classrooms, or the Constitution in classrooms grades 4 through 12. What's interesting about this bill is it requires us to attempt to secure private donations to fund those displays before using school money. And then the Senate Bill 223,
Cops to show up.
Senate Bill 223 is one that would prohibit any school district from denying enrollment of a student who wants to come to your school, your high school, for purely athletic reasons. Right now, you cannot move, and you can't, in other words, one of your students couldn't go to Carbon High just to play basketball. There has to be other reasons besides being on a varsity team. This bill would basically say you can't prohibit a student who wants to attend another high school just to play on a varsity team.
Hmm.
Now, if you want to see recruiting start to take place.
Are the sponsors listed on these bills?
They are online. If you get online, I think this one is the Martin Madison. I hope you recognize, you look at bills, that a lot of bills are introduced by legislators because of either their own personal experience or somebody in their neighborhood complains about something, and so they sponsor a bill to take care of it. I won't go through any of the others with you. You can read them. I hope you're following them. We're meeting with our legislators tomorrow with Mike Dimitrich and Brad King and Kay McKiff. And we'll be talking about a lot of things. I have been in email contact with all of them over these bills, and for the most part, they vote pretty much how almost in every case, when I send them and say oppose it, they oppose it. There is one bill that Mike admitted to me that he messed up on, and that's the bill that would provide $32 million for, I've got to get this right, I think it's year-round, not year-round school. What was it? Only three school districts would get it.
Yeah, it is. It was a pilot program
for extended year programs. and there's 32 million, but it only funds three school districts, and it's one-time money. He voted for it, and I told him to vote against it because it would never, it wouldn't fly. But it's just really some interesting kinds of bills this year that are. One of the concerns that I have is that all of these bills sound good, and they have 18 million, 11 million, 12 million, 13 million. And when you add all of those things up, it could have been a real hefty increase in the WPU if they had just put it there. I've talked to three legislators. I've talked to Representative Cheryl Allen, to Ron Bigelow, and to, probably the most well-known of all.
Howard?
No, not Howard. I don't talk to Howard. No.
He's well known.
Anyway, I've talked to them about compensation, and all three of them have told me that the real feeling of the legislature this year is to do the same thing they did last year, and that's to give the lump sum amount and the WPU increase. Now, I don't know if that's the way it'll finally end up, but that seems to be the attitude right now, is to do what they did last year and to do that several years in a row to get those beginning salaries up. The only problem with the discussion this year is, so far that discussion has been to leave out everybody except classroom teachers, which means Jim would be left out, counselors would be left out, all of your specialists would be left out, and of course principals and of course the district administrators are left out anyway. But we had that discussion with Cheryl Allen the other day. She said she would check on that because she certainly doesn't support that. And basically, I told our legislators, I don't think we're necessarily opposed to that concept of giving a lump sum as long as there's a healthy WPU in order to provide other needs with classified employees and administrators and so forth. So appreciate those of you who are watching those tracking sheets. They're interesting. And I'm up there every week politicking with them, so that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Business Administrator's report?
Just one item. I think Kurt put in his packet the letter from Risk Management about renting school buses to other entities. Obviously, this is a concern with Pageant and what we've done in the past, and we've rented to other groups too. So we, at this point, we really don't know if we'll be able to continue that or not. I'm trying to work with Risk Management to figure out if, specifically with the Pageant, if we can still do that and not have the liability fall back on us. But the problem comes in that they're basically saying they would not cover us if an accident happened. And if that's the case, then we pretty much can't be doing it. If
one lawsuit would bankrupt you.
Yeah.
If we could have some sort of indemnity agreement with the county, maybe we could do it that way. But I checked with the county, and they say it's just a long-standing agreement that they've provided the insurance for the pageant.
It has
no one knows how it started or what the agreement specifically was, but they just give us that certificate every year that says that they would cover, but you know, with our bus drivers driving, if an accident happened, they really think the fault would come back on us.
And if it was a mechanical fault of ours, that would be a big, big problem. Even if we signed an indemnity agreement, it probably wouldn't be valid. If we are actually...
If there's negligence involved, it doesn't matter. But the other question that has come up is whether or not legally Risk Management could tell you they won't cover you, where you are an entity under their direction, under their umbrella. There's still a question as to whether they can deny you coverage, even if they tell you they're going to deny you coverage.
Hmm.
So I think you would have to enter the legal arena at some point to determine that, because they are your insurance carrier regardless. And if you as a local board approve something, I don't know if they can deny you. But we're not willing to take the gamble on buses, whether they would or wouldn't.
I
would
think this letter is pretty specific.
Yeah, if we are actually subleasing, I don't know. It sounds as if we would be liable.
They also, you have to know, they have also discussed the possibility of not covering certain activities such as cheerleading. if there is stunts involved in cheerleading.
Oh.
If there are stunts, which we try to discourage anyway, but we still have it. Because nationwide, the biggest payouts have been cheerleading. You know they won't cover rodeo, so we don't sponsor rodeo. So now this is one more thing that there's. So it's just, we need to be aware of it.
If we have, basically, I think if we have requests come in the future, we either have to say no or look at them really, really carefully.
I think they will honor any contracts we currently have. We do have a contract with the Boy Scouts for this summer,
right.
And it's a signed contract, and I think they'll probably be okay with that. But in the future, we don't want to sign any contracts for rental of buses unless we know that this management, unless they specifically say, yes, we'll cover that, and we get it in writing.
Okay. Well, the pageant's a concern, and we'll
see
what we have to do. If we can make an arrangement to still have it work, I think it would be good for the public relations and all of that. But if not, we can't take the risk. We really can't.
Okay. Is that everything you have? Good. Okay. Any comments? Good.
I think we can. We ought to only have buses for the pageant every other year.
Starting this year.
No, we can start
starting next year.
Yeah.
Starting next year every other year.
There you go. You
can do that. You're only
letting the package every other year. Oh, yeah. The guy didn't realize that. You'd be everywhere, didn't it?
I found that out a couple days ago.
Okay.
I'll do it this year and then
the
Martin
of
the year.
If they have gone every other year starting, they'll have this year and then every other year.
Any other bright comments?
One a day.
All right.
I think 4:05 a.m.
Do we need a motion to go into closed meeting for a minute? Is that right?
Yes,
we do.
I move that we move into a closed meeting.
Second that.
No,
all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
There are refreshments and also a table set up in the back room if you'd like to go.
They will hold it in there then. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you saying that something, too.
Drive carefully, Kim. I would like to recommend the participants for the administrative licensure program to be Steve Gordon, Dean Stilson, Jody Carter, and John Hughes. And the board will move forward with funding their participation in the administrative license program.
I move. So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now, what are the actions?
I would move that we adjourn the meeting and go home.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Let's go. If we just leave you.
Rue, we're glad you're better.
Yeah. I'm glad it looks better, Rue.